Yes.
Hey, everyone. Hello, how are you? This is the Blossom and Brew podcast coming at you a little bit later in the week than we usually do, but it's all good. It's great. I am one of your hosts. I'm Regine L. Sawyer, the coordinator and founder of the Women in Comics Collective International, Wink for short. I'm also a writer and publisher at Lock It Down Productions. And here is my illustrious, amazing co-host.
Hello, this is Ilka Panero of V. Ilka Panero. I am a shaman, I'm a writer, I'm a performer, I'm an animal communicator, among other things. I'm a professional creative. That's what I am. And I am the founder of, as I said, the Ilka Panero, which is pretty much just one-stop shop for all of the aforementioned gifts and offerings. And we are so happy to be here on this Friday, August 28th of the year 2020. Yes. So how are you doing, Regine? Let's talk about it. How are you doing in the micro? How are you doing in the macro?
You know, I'm here. I'm present. I'm accounted for. That's a term that I coined, or I should say a phrase I coined a while back.
Indeed. Some years now.
Really, because it's really important to be present. And what it takes to be present, folks don't understand. Sometimes. What it takes to be engaged, especially in this day and time when you have all this stuff out here in the world, all this racialized violence that is happening against Black folks. All I can say is folks are fortunate. You're quite fortunate that we're not out here going buck wild. You really, really, truly, truly, because there's so many assaults on our personhood. Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, it's a lot. So when I say that I am here, I'm present, I'm accounted for, you don't know how what it takes to be that. But as I said, here I am. Mm. So I'm just taking one day at a time. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, the world in general feels frenzied. You know, it just feels like there's a lot in the air. I know for me, just today alone, I just felt like I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Do I want to go outside on my terrace? Do I want to sit inside and type, you know, before I get on the podcast? Like, what do I want to do? And when I went outside, I was telling Ilka earlier, like, oh my God, it was so hot. I was just sweating just to sweat. It was my sweat.
Your sweat was sweating.
But I sat out there for a bit. But it just felt good to, like, just take in the sun. And then I came back in, cooled off, said, okay, let me get ready for the podcast. So that's kind of where I am. But as always, I'm working in terms of like I'm supposed to be writing. I'm not writing right now. Mm. I'm not writing right now. Anybody that I owe anything to, too bad.
Oh. I did not think that was going to be the second part of that sentence.
Too bad. No, there's no due dates. There's no immediate due dates. But I am calling out and in black, rest assured.
Hey, get it.
rest assured of that. And I just feel like I need to just wind down a little bit. But as always, I'm working. I can't help but not to. Something that I enjoy doing, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm just really being mindful of myself and my needs, as well as my loved ones' needs. So there's that. Just got to remind myself, okay, Regine, you can sit. You don't have to update the Wink website right now.
Right.
Like you don't have to do that outline right now. Like you can be still.
Right.
I'm honoring that. I'm truly honoring that. Because there's only one me. There's only one me. Just like there's only one Ilka. There's only one, each and every one of you that's listening to us right now. That's what's the most important. You hold precedent. And you should always be mindful of your self-care, whatever that is. Especially in these I some people say crazy times. Don't even put that on. Don't say crazy. That does not adequately describe what's going on, and also it's type ableist, so check your language.
Hey.
Okay. You know, it's just very tumultuous, and you do have to be thoughtful about what's going on out here and address it accordingly. So that's sort of where my mind and my heart is right now.
Right.
How about you? How about yourself?
I mean, I'm just feeling very, it's really challenging to put into words, honestly. So I'm going to avoid it. I'm actually not going to talk about my emotions and feelings right now. So I'm going to instead talk about what I'm like doing and not doing. So like you, I am taking, you know, a lot of time to rest and really acknowledge, like, you know, how much of my systems are really demanding a reboot, right? So that, and in that, like, noticing, like, so the thing that I have been very, you know, intentional and prayerful about in the last little bit is, like, identifying the places in which, like, I have authoritarian conditioning and, like, power trip shit, because I'm just really seeing it the way that, like, it just feels so, like, it's permeating everything, kind of like from the bottom down, you know, this thing of like, well, certain people can talk to certain people any old kind of way, certain, you know, like just putting people in dangerous situations and harmful situations, you know, like how I'm just kind of noticing it, like, again, microcosm, macrocosm, and the sort of energetic kind of like, you know, tremor around like, what's going to be the choice here, you know, like what's going to be the choice made here, like, is this going to straight up crumble, you know, like what, like the crumbling is unavoidable. So like what's going to happen after? So it's not necessarily flights of fancy, but my mind has definitely been exercising its plasticity while I've been kind of resting my body. So I haven't really, there's a disconnect between like all the things that is going on in like my mental spaces and attempting to find ways to like express that are sustainable and healthy and like trickle down the information from my mental spaces into my body so that I can like use it as fuel for something that isn't taxing, if that makes sense. And then on the very practical level, I kind of got to feel like there's some like, you know, people in my life I got to check, because there's just been this, oh, right. Oh, here we go. The thing with, so I had this interesting revelation with the help of Metzli, revolutionary mystic. She really helped me put some stuff in perspective, because, you know, old girl who's like, let's have this conversation about other old girl. You know this? And the part of me that's just like, yeah.
And wait a second, like, huh? I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So, very short version for the people in the back. I worked with a non-black person of color several years ago that was absolutely, her behavior was really abominable. Her behavior was very aligned with white supremacist delusion. It was very harmful. It was really traumatic. So all kinds of shenanigans and this and that. This was not, my situation with this person was not anomalous. That's just kind of how she moves through. Like she, over time, prior to me, after me, over time, she has sort of like done the same thing where she has identified really keen talent and just, you know, kind of shoots herself in the foot. But, you know, in terms of alienating then that talent with her trash ass behavior. So, you know, it is what it is. And up until very recently, she had some staunch defenders, right? And just people who were like, well, no, it couldn't possibly be her. It has to be all these other people. And so one of her staunchest defenders, if not her most active advocate, reached out to me. This is not a person that I particularly know very well. She reached out to me, and I don't know the details yet, but like the presumption, the way this woman has presented herself to me is that she is now in a falling out process with this same person. And this, and then, and like, and whatever comes after the and is the thing that is perplexing to me, because
this lady and I have had, we don't really have any kind of relationship beyond like friendly passing. Yeah. And there are mutual friends who have also been harmed by this non-Black person of color from whom she could get reports. And I'm just curious about, like, I'm going to show up for the meeting. Like, I want the tea. Like, you know, like, and also I'm curious about the subtlety of her asking me for this labor, you know? Because it's like, why do you also need my time? You know, like, if this is a conversation, like, in an ideal world, yes, or the thing that I'm envisioning is that this conversation ends with her being like, you know what, I'm gonna kick you like $300 for your time, right? For your labor, for you, yes, taking this, like, energetic space, right, to, you know, I can only imagine, hold space for this woman's response and or rehash my, you know what I mean? Like, there's something, like, she's asking me to do a thing to ultimately what? Help her process her feelings.
Yeah, she wants you to rehash your trauma.
Yeah, so I'm like, I feel like maybe, you know, okay, like, let's, can we acknowledge that? And also, the fuck. So that was a really, and then that, of course, led to all of these other revelations that had sort of been nibbling on the edges, you know, around, like, radical self-care for us and how I now want to develop a practice to be like, I think this is something for which you have to pay me. Like, and I was on a conversation with another one of our mutuals, yours and mine, and the person was asking me, you know, what would I like to see? like, what do I want to see in terms of actual non-performative, you know, and really foundationally, like, behavior that is aimed at, like, foundational reparation, right? And I said, you know what? I would want to see, I want to see Black women treated with the delicacy and care that white women have come to expect unconsciously or something. That's what I want to see. Like, I want to be fucking coddled. I want to be coddled. I don't want anybody to send me emails. Well, you know, we never followed up with, like, you know what? No. I want folks to train themselves to be like, you know what? How is this going to affect the Black person in my life or the Black person in my job? You know what I mean? Like, I want us to be centered for a goddamn change. And for myself personally, I want to get so comfortable and secure in my truth and in my self-worth that whenever I'm not feeling centered and I discern that that is what is in alignment, I want to be able to call it out. Be like, no, we're not doing this. Like, I am not receiving what I need. So, yeah. So that's kind of, that kind of connects back to when I said before, I've been prayerful about, like, you know, identifying with as much ease as possible, like, places where I am an oppressor and where I am, like self-oppressing and externally. And right now, I think for me, the vast majority of that is towards self, right? And
well, it should be.
No. I mean, like, wait, what?
And this,
should we oppress ourselves? What do you mean?
No.
What?
I mean, well, it sounds like you would. I thought you were saying, like, being reflective about yourself and the needs of yourself.
Yes, both. And that, and also the ways in which I oppress myself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's like, what I was agreeing with, not the other stuff.
Okay. I was like, well, what you just helped me realize is that they're the same. It's the flips. It's the same coin.
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
Yeah. So thanks for helping me remember that, girl. So that's where I am, you know, and just kind of trying to figure out how to hustle and make it happen. I was really enjoying when, you know, we were getting our own money given back to us or getting our money returned to us in the form of, you know, pandemic assistance. I was like, yes, give it back to me. I've been paying into this motherfucker for a while. Give me my money.
Listen.
And I'll be excited when it comes back, goddammit. In whatever form. When, like, that level of security comes back in whatever form, you know? It doesn't necessarily have to come from the feds. I don't really know how I feel about that, you know? But either way, I'm just like, really, you know, one of the things I am actively working on is channels to just financial abundance. Like, you know, people are like, oh my goodness, all the energy and money is energy shit. I'm that person. I said that the other day multiple times. You know, it's just like, and you're rich and all these other things, and that is very true. And also, I have, you know, unpleasant people to whom I owe money on the regular. You know, in the form of like rent and credit cards and, you know, things like that. You know, like, got, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
like,
not
like all of us do.
Exactly. So creating spaces of abundance in that, because I mean, of course, I don't know. It just feels so typical, like, to even say, like, of course, you know, the most capitalistic places in our lives are the most fucking tense, you know, or some of the most tense. Like, it's just, you know, the ways that the tension is always connected to those things, you know, like my, like, you know, one of the most unpleasant people to whom I owe a thing, you know what I mean? Like that level of behavior, you know, is around what? Is around like the way I choose to like engage with capitalism, the way I choose to make money. You know what I mean? And yeah. You know, there's like mad judgment around that. It's just very, I'm feeling very aware of how it permeates everything and is baked into everything. Your pillars of oppression, darling.
Yes.
Your Venn diagram of trash.
Basically, but I'll always say this, the more we talk about things and the more we discuss things, even if I discuss things outside of you and me, and I mention the various things and I link it, people are like, oh shit.
Well, do you have that Venn diagram? When I was like, oh my God, somebody put it in circles. Remember that?
Yes.
I was like, yes. Oh shit, because I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what you're talking about.
It's true. Oh, and for folks that are out there, maybe this is your first time hearing our podcast, but the eight pillars, it's like six or eight pillars.
I don't know. So, I'm not comfortable with making them numbers because it's like there's always offshoots. So I just, the pillars.
The pillars, like there are absolutely offshoots of them all. So we're talking about misogyny, racism, white toxicity, colonialism.
You got them all? I don't even try to remember.
They'll pop up. Well, no, epigenetics, and intergenerational trauma. And patriarchy. So, yeah, there we go. I had to make sure because, like you mentioned, some of them are offshoots.
Right.
Of each other, but some of those offshoots stand out more than it does the quote unquote parent pillar. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But a lot of things stem from those pillars that we mentioned.
Yes. So at any rate, it's all baked into all the things because it has all those pillars, and so you see it in all the places. And so now, you know, like I said on the pod a couple weeks ago, I'm really just not, I'm very uninterested in hearing white opinion. the only white opinion I'm really allowing to let into my space right now is like echo chamber white opinion. Like, I only want to talk to my white friends that are like, absolutely, yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, I completely agree. Yes. Like, that's what I need. That's what I want. That's the only thing I'm letting into my space.
I hear you.
You know, like, what can I do for you? Like, what can I do for you? How can I make this time easier for you? Do you want this? Do you want that? How, you know, not, and like, yes, coddling, but also for the people I'm thinking of, like, not that, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's an authentic and sincere, like, I, like, your thing right now is bigger than my thing right now.
And I mean, for me, I want people to listen and digest. Because I find that, you know, you talk to folks and a lot of times what you're saying goes over their heads and they're not trying to understand or resonate with what's going on because they're tied up in their own thoughts and presumptions.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to listening to the person that's going through it or can give you more insight so you can understand what you're possibly going through.
Mm-hmm.
As a non-Black person that is also marginalized in some way. Because Black folks have been through it.
You're saying you're wishing for people to listen.
Comprehension. For me, it's beyond listening. It's like you have to digest.
Right.
It needs to go in your mouth, through into your belly and out. Like, like your body absorbs the nutrients and gets rid of the waste. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. Because one of my biggest pet peeves is when someone doesn't listen to me. And that's my personal thing. But once you start looking at, like the pillars we talked about, it's like, okay, you definitely not listening because you're stuck on this other stuff in one way, shape or fashion. And so that links directly into my pet peeve was when someone does not listen to me or take my feelings into account.
Well, I feel like I would see, I don't know. I have a concern about that because you asking people to do a thing. Like you asking people to do a thing that people don't, that people kind of have proven that they don't really have the range for.
No, I get that. I get that. But if you're going to interact with me or we're going to have a discussion about something or certain topics or, you know, we're working on something together, like, no. So at that juncture, once I realize you don't have the range, that's when I'm like, I'm out.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you have a code of conduct to which people have to
adhere to. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So see, that feels so much more empowered to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. People keep proving that they're not really trying to comprehend.
Oh, I know. I'm not beating my head against the wall about that. Right. You know, I make note of it. It's like, okay, you don't get it, huh? And then I just go about my business.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to beat my head against the wall. I don't do that. Jeannie don't do those things. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not pinning to argue with you. Like, I'm like, I'm truly, like, I'm not, we're not doing that.
Mm. Boo. What else are we chatting about? I've been really enjoying. Oh, how was your roller skating thing? I was gonna say I've been really enjoying the roller skaters. How was your quest over your roller skating?
In my travels for looking for self care and travels as in looking online.
It's the traveling we're doing right now. Shit.
Basically. No, I mean, I am looking for skates. I am very interested in skating. Like, I'm seeing all this black folk joy, you know, especially black girl joy, you know, discovering or rediscovering the love of skating and roller skating specifically. And I'm like, I want to be that. I want to do that. I'm still looking. I'm looking for something that's on sale and cute. That's
nice. What I'm Make it specific.
On sale and cute in my size.
That's right. Make it specific. I love it.
But in general, I'm just loving seeing the videos of just of black people, those beautiful black people, just saying, I'm getting me some skates. Mm-hmm. like they're just out in parks and they're skating. And they're like, and despite everything that's going on in this country right now, and I think that's a testament just to who we are as a people. Like we find the light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. We just do. That's just something that we do. I think we'll always do that. But I just want to see like escapism for the sake of escapism, not because everything is awful, you know. Like as opposed to that, like, oh, I just want some skates. I just want to go. I just want to roll around. I just want to go to a roller rink or whatever, whenever they open up, you know?
Right. I mean, would you skate in the streets? Well, what I'm seeing is ladies in parking lots and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to go to, I have a park near the apartment. I'll probably roller skate there, you know, or maybe I'll venture to another park that's not too far away.
Yes.
And I'm going to do that. But yeah, that's where I see folks doing it too. There's parking lots and parks.
Adorable. Yeah. I love it. Girl, I mean, I'm not even sure. What else is going on in the news?
You know, too much.
I feel like we're skating
around some of the things that are happening right now.
Well, like what? Like, what do you mean? Like you and I right now?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it's okay. No, well, I mean, a lot is going on in the news. Last week was the DNC, and we touched on it last week. And, you know, this week was RNC. I did not watch at all.
Not even 1 second.
Not even a peep. So, you know, God bless the folks of color that are not down with that nonsense who watched it for the rest of us, because I saw reports on Twitter and stuff, and I'm like, for your self-care, y'all, I hope you scrubbed your brain out.
I was just like, can we all take spiritual baths?
Like, really, it's like, that's too much. It's when you have a bunch of people in a room that have let you know in whatever way, shape, or form that they hate you and would hurt you if you could. And all these different folks are there every day at this conference. You know, there are people that literally killed us there. Like, it wasn't like George Zimmerman was there.
Oh, you know more than me. Just listen to you talk about it. My body is having a reaction.
He was there. The young man who was those kids that were wearing MAGA hats around this chieftain.
Yeah, that little son of a bitch with the chin.
This indigenous chieftain, and he was, you know, and he was singing, and he was there. A whole bunch of folks who have caused harm to folks of color were there, and I'm just like, if y'all didn't know that they hate you, now you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know, now you know that they hate us. Like, we're not being considered in any of this, except, you know, as something to hurt and harm. So there was, yeah, sure.
You can keep monologue for a second is what I really meant to say.
Oh, okay. Monologue for a second. So that transpired this week. And of course, we had another shooting. We had another shooting of a young man. And I can't believe I've forgotten his name. I feel like I've seen his name so many times. And somehow his precious name is slipping my mind, but he was shot in the back 8 times. However, he is alive. He is alive. However, he is paralyzed. And it's like, can we live? Can we live at all? Can we help our community? Because he was in the process of separating a fight. And in the midst of separating that fight, I guess it was dispersing. He was walking away and police were called and shot him in the back in front of his children. And there was video of it. And I suggest that no one watches it. Apparently a lot of folks were retweeting and sharing the video. Folks that were not of color.
This happens every time.
And then here we are as Black people, like, pleading, like, for the love of God, like, we already have to face the situation that this happened again. But now we're being re-traumatized, and this family probably re-traumatized by y'all sharing this shit all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's much. And then after this happened to him, you have this, as you called him, a little monster. This little monster from outside of the state of what was in Wisconsin? Outside of Wisconsin, because that's where this young man was shot, comes with him and his mama coming to the state thinking that they're going to corral protesters, and he ends up shooting several of them. And I believe one person died, and then one of them was a cop. Out of uniform, if I'm not mistaken. And his mama was somewhere in the area with her gun, toting it, thinking that she was a sheriff or whatever. And she wasn't arrested, but her son was. But he was arrested without a scratch.
Yes.
Without a scratch at all. And again, if folks don't see the irony in that or the problem in that. Because if it was one of us, that person definitely would not be in existence right now.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be gone off of this earth. It's harrowing to be a Black person.
Oh.
It's harrowing. So again, back to when we first started this conversation, when I had said, like, I'm here, I'm present, I'm accounted for. I'm quite fortunate that I'm able to do that. And for all the other Black folks that are able to show up, God bless you. Mm-hmm. God bless you. So that's a little bit of an update of some of the things that happened this week.
That was a really good update. I came back very, like, pretty briefly, and I was like, oh, no, she's got this handle. Here we go. Yeah, that sounds goddamn terrible. I don't like any of it. And I was, you know, as we were talking about earlier, it just feels really important to me to be mindful of my languaging and, like, not really couch it at all for non-Black people, you know, while also holding delicacy for us. Yeah. So that's like the languaging I'm looking for. Cause it's like, how do we bluntly, like, how is it, you know, cause it's it's typical at this point. Like, and I mean, you know, that joke that, like, a couple years ago where it was constantly people being like, I am shocked by this. I can't believe this is America. You know, and it was just like, stop saying that shit, because all you're doing is proving that you either haven't been listening or you just haven't believed us this entire time, right? So now it feels like sort of collectively the memo has been circulated that it's just like, okay, even if you do feel that shock or whatever, you kind of keep that shit to yourself, right? Or you find more precise language to describe the emotional response you're having to seeing this shit happen again. Yeah? If you can even engage your empathy enough as a non-Black person to access that. So it feels to me like one of the, you know, I'm feeling inspired around, inspired, I don't know if that's the right word, but around this idea of what is the new language we use? What is the new language we use that then begins to condition our collective mentals that they're the same? Like, the reason the cops wave a kid like that away, the reason they're like, let's get you some food, son, you know, is because not only are they complicit, they're gleeful about it. Like, these young children are doing the job for them, you know? Like, Austin Channing wrote this thing the other day where she said, you know, what we've really learned is that, like, the offense is always Blackness. It doesn't matter, right? Yeah. What you do beyond the Blackness, because the offense is Blackness, right? So, so that, you know, so it's just like, okay, for the non-Black people, yeah, that have the space, that have the range, that have the desire, that have, you know, the flexibility and of mind, yeah, and spirit to even get to that place, start talking to them about it. Start talking, like, what is the language we use with them around that, you know? Like, and I don't even know if it, to go back to the thing of, like, treating it delicately or, like, holding a space of delicacy for Black people, I don't even know if delicacy is the right word. I think it's just validation, you know? So, like, how do we get non-Black people to start using this language of validation that it is a fucking problem? Because they just, like, even that is where they're just coming to. Where it's like, oh, this might actually be a problem. And it's just like, yes, mightn't it be a problem, right? So empowering us, empowering them with language so that it stays in the front of the consciousness that this is a fucking problem that they have to solve. That they have to solve. We're not the problem. Black people are not the problem. Whiteness is the fucking problem. And I'm just like, stop making us the problem. Stop fucking telling Black people that you worried about them. How are you worried about you? Why? So you praying for bad shit to happen to me? You're making me the problem? No, worry about you. Open your wallet, bring some financial ease to my life, and worry about your monkey ass. Because the reason we're here is because you refused to stop placating your grandma or your uncle or your father or your friend in yoga or yourself. You solve your problem. Keep my fucking life out of it. So, language. I'm working on language around how we.
Indeed.
Hmm?
Indeed.
Yeah. So anyway, girl, I don't know that. And like I said, just really being, I'm realizing I have to temper my responses when I like, you know, when like the harm Spidey sense comes up, because it's just, I just get super passionately protective where I'm like, somebody is hurting you. Do you see it? Like, you know? And yeah, I don't know. So slowing my body down so that I can at least find a place for all of these fucking thoughts to land. That.
It's a lot.
I dare say it's too much.
You say it's too much. I've been saying it's a lot. I guess I've been saying it's a lot because it is. Do I think it's too much? It's not that I don't think it's too much. I just feel like we as Black people have been dealing with so much in general throughout the years. And I just think at this juncture, it's an onslaught. It just like keeps being dumped. Oh, my brother. Okay, he posted comments. No, he posted some comments.
Okay, great. What are the people saying?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I forgot the young man's name. Jacob Black is the one who was shot. So thank you, Diongo.
Jacob Blake is the one who got shot, and the murderer monster is Ryan Rittenhouse or something.
Okay, the charges against him have been dropped. His handcuffs have been removed while he was in the hospital, and the police guarding him have been removed.
Hold on, what charges were against him?
So that's my brother.
Yes, I see that. No, I knew that. So before we got on, I had just seen the thing about him being handcuffed, and I was like, why would he be handcuffed? So this is the first I'm hearing about charges, because it was incomplete information that was being circulated where it was like he was handcuffed, and like, yes, that's obviously fucked up, but I was just like, why would they do that? I'm curious about what these charges were that they even ever had to be dropped, because what was the charge? Breaking up a fight and then being... and then surviving, are they charging him for not dying like they wanted him to? How much you want to bet?
Oh, my brother said hi, Ilka.
Hi.
he was charged with sexual assault.
What?
Yeah, okay, they just pulled something out of their butt.
What in the world?
Wow. Did not know that.
Nor did I. The moment of discovery, live on air, kids. No idea. But you know what? Of course we had no idea, because how much do we not know? How much are they steady keeping from us? How much do they not put in the reports? How much do they shred? You know, how much do they massage? Again, the language. See, this is why words of affirmation is one of my least favorite love languages, because people will just say whatever the fuck. No ma'am. No ma'am.
No ma'am indeed. No ma'am indeed.
Mm-mm. I don't like not one piece of it. We deserve better. We all deserve better than this.
I'm almost speechless.
But I should hear. Yeah, you should. Can you? Do you hear what my body is doing? I'm just looking out the window like just an old angry grandma right now.
Well, okay. If we bring things back into focus, this is what always happens to, not want to say always, but it's an ongoing, I don't want to say trope. Trope is what you would use in fiction. I think it's an ongoing narrative that, you know, like that a Black man will hurt you, will sexually assault you, especially if you're a non-Black woman, you know, supposedly. And so the easiest thing probably in their minds to put on them would be, or him, you know, Mr. Jacob Blake, Jesus, is that he sexually assaulted somebody.
See, but
that would give justification of shooting him in the back 8 times.
But like, and that's what I'm saying, is just like, that's absurd nonsense.
No, it is.
But like, it doesn't
it's plausible for white folks to digest. Yes, I agree with you, Ilka. But I do agree with you. I'm just saying that I could see that would be why they would do that.
That's why.
Like, here, this is why. This is why, you know, this dude was out here doing X, Y, Z, so we had to shoot him in the back.
Yeah, right. But see, that's why I'm saying that's absurd. Not like there. Okay, you know what? Ooh, okay. I'm trying to find precision in my words here. This is the thing that I've been thinking. I've been sort of floating around with this kind of like, you know, barb, right? Where it's just like, imagine being so static of mind and so stagnant of thought that you still believe what the news tells you, you know, like, ugh, you know, I was just like, oh God. And that's, and like this example, you know, the fact that we're even sitting here, you know, contemplating the very legitimate reality that that is the thinking, like, okay, yes, this is what we're going to feed them, right? And that they feel empowered to do that ridiculous shit, and moreover, that people will buy it.
Yeah,
because they're like, yes, that makes sense, because Black people are dangerous and blah 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 blah. And what we're starting to see now amongst non-Black people, you know, is, and honestly, I'm here for it, because I don't think that I think we've chosen this path. Like, I don't think there's, like, you know, a peaceful alternative at this point. Like, we have the bell. I don't know if the bell can get unrung, right? Like, so what we're seeing are these widening chasms. Remember the fault line? Remember when that card popped out in meditation? So what we're seeing are these widening chasms within, you know, all of the communities, you know what I mean? But particularly within this quote unquote dominant culture, this culture that has been forced into the center, or that has forced itself into the center, right? So, okay, so you so used to being on the stage, well, the stage is crumbling, right? And it's like, the vision is like, you know, there's people falling to one side of the crumble and people falling to the other side of the crumble. So, you know, the fault line is real, and I like I said, I'm creating physical and metaphysical, you know, islands, honestly, or no, what's that word? Archipelagos, right? Is that what that is? A group of islands clustered together?
Yes.
That's what my life feels like it's, you know, desiring right now, like my energetic. You know, who are my islands? The islands don't have, you know, we don't have to be the same thing. One island can grow coconuts, one island can grow mangoes, one island can grow almonds, whatever fuck. In fact, I would prefer that, you know, but it's just like, but all the islands are in the space of growth, you know, of fostering growth. Because, yes, it's the real situation. And I think there has never been an empire that hasn't fallen. It's in the history of empires.
Yeah.
Never, ever. They've all fallen. And I think that it's not a coincidence that we happen to be alive for this. You know, all the people who are alive for this that happen to be here for this. Oh, a cat. Oh, okay. A cat just came right up the fire escape. And as he came up, we locked eyes. And he just stopped and looked at me and gave me some beams, and now he's on his way. Okay, sir. That was, woo. Because I just happened to look out the window, and I heard clank at a clank. Came right on my thing and was just like, ma'am. I was like, sir. And he went about his business.
You and your animal.
Anyway, sorry, that was a distract. He definitely came in and was just like, pardon me for interrupting. I need to look into your soul. luckily, it was not found wanting. Mm-hmm. So I've been blessed anew by the feline kingdom. I really appreciate. Don't you not appreciate your like clout with the felines? It feels very significant. I feel like it's hugely protective, especially in these times.
It is. It is. Definitely so.
Yeah, no, I feel like, you know, oftentimes they're just like animal spirits around being like, you know what, girl, let's go up this block. I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, you know, oxen or like flamingo. Right? But yeah, not to get too metaphysical. Girl, you know, that's what I got. Empires fall. I think we're in the midst of the fall. And how do we then create, you know, spaces to keep each other you know, out of the path of debris, right? So roller skating, napping, boundaries, demanding payment or not, you know, and it just feels like there's a real flavor here of always and particularly in this moment, they need us more than we need them for this learning.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
And I think one of the easiest ways to repair that is to compensate us. Compensate us for the work we're doing and the work we've been doing. And when I say work, I mean, you know, being civil in the face of constant trauma.
Yes. Yes.
Like that, you know, not, oh, I'm a genius and I'm Jordan Peele and I'm like, no, pay me for that too. But also repair the constant trauma.
Yes.
Visited upon us. Start there.
Definitely. Because, well, especially if we're being asked to revisit it in order to educate. I think that, and I'm not even just talking about white folks, but I think sometimes people in general don't necessarily think that's what they're asking of you. It's like, oh, that happened to you? Oh, such and such happened? What happened? Give me the tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we figured you're just chatting, and it's like, no, like, I'm actually reliving everything.
Right.
that happened to me. And it was horrible. Thanks. I lived it. It happened, and now I gotta hear you talk about how you feel about what happened to me. Like that's no. Well, especially then now, if we're being asked with the intention of educating, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what I was saying before. Like, okay, do you want me to say, or you want me to talk about my experiences, or how certain information can help you become a better person? You want to have your privilege and such and such and such, but you really don't want to do it. You really don't want to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning before. That's like one of my pet peeves. It's like, you want this information, but you really don't.
Right.
You want to move forward, but you really don't. You don't want to do the work. You don't want to look at yourself and what your role has been or is, or how you've been complicit.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to hear that. And the more that I've been thinking about it, because I've been thinking about it a lot actually for the past week, it's just, it's how much am I willing to extend?
Yeah.
In order for you to get your education, I mean, at the end of the day, if helping you to understand in whatever way in which I choose to do it helps the next Black person not to be abused or hurt and harmed, I'll roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll roll with it. However, if I'm just going to sit here reliving my trauma, you don't understand how to receive that, or you're so busy immersed in your own trauma that you don't have the capacity to understand someone else's so that you can now evolve. I don't know what to do with you. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So what I will say is that if you're open and willing to do the work, you're self-aware enough that you're just like, you know what? Like, I need to look at all the ways in which I'm possibly problematic. You know, I need to check my privilege. And, you know, I don't ask anyone to do anything that I'm not willing to do, because I find myself constantly checking my privilege, constantly making sure, like, okay, let me make sure that what I'm saying or what I'm thinking is, you know, is not problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I'm like, yo, guys, I don't want you to do no work. You don't have to mule. Just give me a couple of sentences.
Right.
And if that's too much, let a bitch know. I'll just look it up. You know, I'll Google it if I can. But or I just really take the time to think about it and do my best not to lie to myself. No, I don't. I'm like, no, Regine, that was problematic. We gotta fix that. I do my best to be as self-aware as possible so I can unravel whatever nonsense is in there because of colonialism, misogyny, patriarchy, racism, and the like.
Well, I guess we just gotta keep doing it.
No, truly, you just have to keep doing it. And I also encourage folks, like, yeah, don't, like, if it feels like too much work, it feels too emotional, don't do it. You know, if it feels like a strain, don't do it. If, you know, if it's not within your capacity, don't do it. I mean, and I'm talking about when you're in the position of educating. You know, if it feels like it's too much, or again, if it feels like it's, people are not listening, they're not digesting what you're saying, they're not putting anything into practice. And, you know, I mentioned this probably a few weeks ago, but like for Women in Comics, we have an application for a reason.
Yeah.
The application is there. You know, you can talk a good game, you know, maybe one-on-one, but if we make you like fill out an application or the application is in front of you, it's kind of hard to like bullshit that. At least what I'm finding as we're going through applications, and it's just like, okay, this person totally did not get the question.
Well, it was wild to me. I mean, just to reflect back to that, is certain examples that you shared with me where you're like, this lady said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, she didn't even try.
Yeah.
I'm like, she didn't try.
At all.
Like, she really thought that was going to be okay. And that, I mean, that's the thing is, I'm like, did she think that was going to be okay? Or did she just take the time to be petty? Like, that seems odd to me. Like, why would you then even bother filling out the thing if you were just going to be disrespectful to it? So I'm just like, okay, so no, you actually felt like that was an acceptable response.
No, truly, truly.
And then I'm like, oh dear.
And I'll be clear, that particular woman was white.
I appreciate that you had to point that out, but do you really feel like any of our listeners knew anything other than that?
Just in case. Y'all didn't know she was white. And it's been, I mean, and it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting to see answers and just say, and seeing you like, okay, you didn't even try because you didn't think you needed to.
Nope.
Or that it was important to, or maybe you assumed that we're not reading it. It's like, no, like we're very, very specific about criteria and, you know, who is a part of the organization. And I think it should be like that for everything. Don't just take people's money. Like, you want to craft a certain environment for a reason. And it's a way to also let people know that certain behavior will not be tolerated.
Yeah. It's your code of conduct.
Yes, absolutely.
You think closer.
Exactly. 100%. It's full circle. Like, this, I have a personal code of conduct, and it was like, okay, as a Black woman, like, if I'm involved with anything, if I'm creating something, that has to have a code of conduct too. Like, we can't mess around.
Right. Right.
You can't, especially again, if you feel like you're under siege every time you go out into the world, every time you talk to people, every time you're trying to have discussions on race and equity,
or even when you're not
quality, even when you're not,
like,
someone will bust out something ignorant.
And that's the thing that I think we really got to focus on, because it really is like, even when you're not, like, it's when you're trying to take a dance class, or when you're trying to buy some fucking groceries, or when you're trying to put something in the mail, or when you're trying to walk down the street, or when you're trying to sleep in your bed. And then it's, they disrespect you even after you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, when do Black people get peace? Like, look at what's happening. Look at what's happening. Look, Breonna Taylor. They put Breonna Taylor on the cover of Vanity Fair. Why? Ain't nothing to do with Breonna Taylor. Again, the memification just bums me out. And I'm like, is she rested? Like, what? Ugh. you know, and that's, and then that goes back again to language. Like, no, make it clear. Like, y'all, we are not, Black folks are just oftentimes not even allowed to rest in death. Because we gotta, because we as their fellow Black people have to, like, you know, keep their names kind of like jostled about to fucking get justice for them, because justice is, it's not even, it's just not, it's just, we don't warrant it. These dudes out here living their best lives, chilling. So, you know, yeah, like, seriously, when do we rest? When do we get to rest? Because motherfuckers ain't trying to let us rest in life or in death. So, you know, I mean, and I'm going to other realms. So, you know, I'm saying, like, those are two pretty intense realms of existence to, like, always be asked to be of, to be being of some sort of service to something that isn't necessarily just ourselves and our wellness.
Yes.
Ba ba da ba ba da 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 do. Shall we?
We shall.
Yes.
So,
what you got going on this week? Let's wrap it up.
I was about to ask you the same thing.
What do I have going on?
I mean, this is the end of the week.
Oh, right. Okay. So for the upcoming week, then, you know, like I said, oh girl, I get to have these conversations wherein I get to, you know, invite white people to look at why they're asking me for labor. So that's going to be fun or something. So there's that, you know, I got sessions on things. Got some opportunities to, you know, journey into the multi-dimensions with some folks for the attention of their healing, you know, and I always really enjoy that. Like, everybody, as you know, whenever we set intentions, everybody that the session touches gets a healing. So including me. So that's always, you know, it definitely is a perk of my job. Yeah. So that's really what I got going on, that, you know, and still just like releasing things from my space. Doing yoga, doing my best to get to bed, you know, before midnight. I'm up to 1 a.m. now. So that's exciting. And that's what's up. What you got? I feel like you have things in the works.
I do, but I'm trying to rest.
All right. I'm so are you resting? Is that your plan? Because I think
my plan is resting, but I am going to be doing some work. I'm going to be working on some scripts this weekend. I'm going to be sending out a newsletter for the Women in Comics members and for subscribers. So that's primarily what I'll be doing between now and Monday. I'm saying now. I don't know if I'm doing anything today. But between now and Monday, and probably peppered throughout the week, next week, that's probably what I'll be doing. That's basically it, you know, trying to stack these ducats. It's hard out here. I won't say it's hard out here for a pimp. but I didn't want to resonate with a pimp.
I know. We're just gonna have to, you know, recreate the lyric. We'll figure it out. Also, I don't even want to, you know, we can take the melody and that's it. Cause I don't want to claim nothing being hard, and I don't want to be claiming no allegiance with pimps. We'll definitely work on it.
But no, I'll be writing, as I said, but I'll probably be binge watching something. I'm binge watching The Legend of Korra on Netflix.
Oh, I saw you tweet about that and how you don't particularly care for her character, but you really felt empathy for her. And I was like, you know what that is? Growth.
Absolutely. But I've always felt like that. I've always felt like that about her as a character. And I had a really nice conversation with one of my Twitter followers about that. Because a series can be good, but there are characters that you don't like in it. It doesn't mean that the character is a quote-unquote bad character or is not written well. Because I read somewhere someone thought that this particular character, Korra, wasn't fully developed. I don't agree with that. I don't like her personality. I don't, you know. But what she went through was just horrible. There, and this is a children's cartoon, but at one point it was taken off of the Nickelodeon television, and you could only see it on the website. So when it went to the website and I saw what was going on, I was like, oh, like, it was like, that's rough. Like, this is rough. Like, some of it is like hard to watch. And my feeling is if she wasn't a quote unquote female character, some of the stuff she wouldn't be going through, because I, especially in the nature in which she goes through it, for me, there's some issues of consent. Some of the stuff is hard to watch.
Yeah, I have not seen that one. I've only ever seen like the first series, and
I invite everybody to watch it. It's not a bad series. It's a good series. There are several moments, more than a few, where it's like, whoa, like that.
and I think that's why that it's always sort of been prevent. Like there, me connecting with that second series has always been prevented for some reason.
That's probably one of the reasons why.
And even now, I see it, and I'm like, oh, maybe. And then I'm just like, no. I think that might be why.
I mean, I'm appreciative of the storytelling. I just, her as a character is like, no, I don't like you, but the story is very thoughtful. And yes, I mean, some of the things that do happen to her, you could absolutely have it happen and it just not be as rough. I'll just say it like that. You can definitely have those things happen and it just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we know what's going on. Nothing outright like sexual or anything of that in nature, but definitely comparable. In my mind, I mean, maybe I'm the only one, but I spoke to a couple of my friends, and they were like, "Nah, some of the stuff that happened to her was really hard to watch."
Yeah, that's, and I mean, at that point, they're no longer advertising themselves as like a children's cartoon, or is it sort of sanitized?
Possibly. I mean, look, I think about how I write and the books that I've written and the things that have happened to my characters, who and most of my main characters are women. Some rough stuff happens because you live life and things do happen to you. Especially in a fantastical world, you expect even maybe more serious things to happen, possibly in a fantastical way. But I like to think that the way I do it isn't gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest part for me. It's like, we don't got to be gratuitous, y'all. Like, we can we can keep it cute.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Mm. It does. I guess my question is, you know what? We'll see. Because I'm just like, because when I hear you say, and you have it reflected back to you by other adults that are like, this was hard to watch, and y'all are adults saying that, I'm like, oh, you know, it just makes me wonder about like children.
I can imagine being a child and not understanding what was going on. Because I've been, big shout out to Black Comics Chat. They have this great segment that they've been doing on the weekend called Cartoons and Cereal.
Uh-huh.
It comes on Twitch and on Twitter. If you follow them on Twitter, you can watch it. They come on at 11:30-ish, Eastern Standard Time, and we watch various cartoons from the 80s mostly, and like early to mid 90s, and we've been watching like the quote unquote girls cartoons, or the cartoons that are marketed towards girls.
Yes.
Those cartoons are rough.
Yeah, okay.
We were watching Rainbow Bright, and we were like, this is dark as hell. Like, what? Like, Rainbow Bright is dark. Like, first of all, she's a colonizer. Ain't number one, she a colonizer. Two,
Wait, Rainbow Bright is?
Rainbow Bright is a colonizer, absolutely.
I don't disagree, but I just was trying to remember which, like...
That's her role. She goes to these various different planets and spaces, dimensions, to make the world better. or brighter. And as we're watching it, I'm watching this and I just type in the chat. I'm like, hey, Rainbow Bright's a colonizer. And everybody, we're all adults, we're like, yeah, she is.
That's garbage.
Oh, she's a colonizer. But also it was dark. And then there was, we were watching My Little Pony and from the 80s, and we're watching My Little Pony, and like the guys in the chat are like, yo, this is dark. This is really dark. And we're like, yeah, welcome to girls' cartoons in the 80s. You know, Jem, there are moments in Jem where just Jem is getting slapped in the face and stuff.
Oh, like, no, Jem was my jams.
I love Jem. We watched Jem last weekend. I love Jem. Jem is my Jem. I love my Jem. But Jem was nah, I'm watching it. I'm like, this ain't for kids. Like Rio getting emotionally manipulated. Like,
yeah. They I was just like, you can't, why do y'all stay messing with poor Rio?
Yeah, I know, like totally messed with his head. And like I said, Jem and Jerrica, they both gotten like back slapped by grown men. Like, horrible. You're looking at this like, wait, she just got back slapped. This is, and you just gotta digest, like, damn, this is what I was watching when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, seven.
Right.
Like, this is wow.
Pretty amazing.
So it's definitely been interesting rewatching these old cartoons and realizing what you were actually watching.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what? Let's go drink things.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's go drink things. We'll be back sometime soon or far, who can say. Thank you for joining us. It's always lovely to be able to get together and work some shit out, I guess. I don't know. You know.
Well, where can people find you?
People can find me at all times at theilkapanero.com or ilkapanero.com. They'll both take it to the same place. If you want to, so that is going to be where you can find blogs, you can book sessions for yourself, your animals, your home era. You can also find me on the social medias. Everywhere that I am publicly available is The Ilka Panero. So if it's Twitter, it's going to be at. If it's Instagram, it's that. It's always going to be that. Just my first name, my last name. Throw a T-H-E in front of it, you're good to go. Where can they find you, madam?
Find me on all the things on social media. I'm at Lock It Down on Twitter. At Lock It _ Down on Instagram. And also you can follow the Women in Comics handles at Women in Comics NY on Twitter, at Wink NYC, that's WINC NYC on Instagram. And big shout out to Ray Comics. Ray Comics has a Kickstarter that was just filled. Like they met their goal, which is truly awesome. But what makes it truly, truly even more awesome, they're doing a lot of charity work and charitable work with their Kickstarter. And that includes creating a tier for Wink, where if you donate to their Wink tier, that money goes to our new Wink Media Fellowship, which was made to support up-and-coming folks in the comic book industry. We're helping provide certain services that they might need, like workshops, partnering them with Blurred Galaxy if they're interested in journalistic endeavors, paying for memberships if need be, and a whole host of stuff. You can definitely check that out on our website, womenincomicscollective.org. But yeah, check out their Kickstarter. I believe it's called Okeemus. And I think it's O-K-E-U-S or M-U-S. O-K-E-U-M-U-S. But just check out Ray Comics. That's R-A-E space comic.
That's better.
And you can go and, I mean, support or whatever tier you'd like, but yes, there is a Wink tier that money will again go to the Wink Media Fellowship, and Ray Comics will match each donation up to $300.
That's great.
Yeah, it's super dope, and we're really appreciative of that. So good looking out, Ray Comics. We appreciate you. And again, thanks everyone for hanging in with us. We'll be back next week, Lord willing. Also, last week's episode will be up on Spotify today. I was a little bit late doing it, guys. I'm sorry about that. Okay, no more sorry. It happened. But up on Spotify, it'll be up on Podbean. And this episode that you're currently listening to will be up this weekend. So take care and be well, y'all. Bye.
Bye.